Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. You'll forgive me for not wearing a jacket. It's just... Mechila, everyone? Okay, good. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is when one does not violate the prohibition of Baal Tollin. If you remember last week, we gave the first shiur in the Money Matter series, which spoke about the importance of paying workers on time. And we mentioned that there are like five prohibitions, five lavin, a mitzvah essay, that you really have to pay your workers on time. If you delay paying your workers, so you violate a number of isurim. You have to, if someone finishes work during the day, you have to pay him before the end of the day. They finish work at night, you have to pay the person before the end of the night. These are the halachos, these are mitzvos min ha-Torah. Now, in part because it's so difficult to pay workers on time, so sometimes we try to use workarounds to get to make it less serious, less intense, that we don't violate the Aveira. This is actually like a common thing in many areas of halacha, like the halacha, for example, of ribbis. No? We don't want to charge interest, so we have like a workaround, this whole complicated heter iska thing. We should probably talk about that at some point during these Money Matters shiurim. What a heter iska is, but that's a way of working around the iser of ribbis, to arrange it in a way that it's not going to be a problem. The iser of yichud, right? It's a very serious aveira to be secluded, but we have lots of workarounds. You know, you leave the door open, etc. These are legitimate halachic things. What are they called? Tools. Right? Loopholes is like, sounds bad. These are legitimate halachic tools that really solve the aveira. And similarly, when it comes to Baal Tollin, we have a number of halachic tools by which we can solve the aveira. Some are more practical, some are less practical. Let's talk about it. So the first one that is found, I actually tried to be organized tonight in the rare turn of events. So we have like Roman numerals and things like that. Hire through an agent. That's the first one. If you want to solve Baal Tollin, you do not hire the worker yourself. You have someone hire the worker for you. Sounds good? Right? This comes from a Gemara of Metzia Daf Kuf Yotan Rabbana Omer L'Chaver Tseischar Leipoalim Shnehem Einon Over Mishum Baal Tollin. If I tell my friend, hire a worker for me, so we both do not violate Baal Tollin. Zeh, lefish lo sachran. Right? Let's say I ask you, Lev, to hire a worker for me. So I don't violate Baal Tollin because I didn't hire the worker. Zeh, and you don't violate Baal Tollin, lefish ein pula so etzla, because the worker is not working for you, the worker is working for me. And the Gemara says, what's the case? If I say, scharchem alai.
Nobody's got a big guy.
What?
He's still working for me. He's working for the same. His company. So if I tell my worker, hire this person, he's still working for my company.
It doesn't matter. Since I didn't do the hiring myself, I do not violate Baal Tollin. This one is worth $1 million. Right? Basically, I can solve the... Again, that doesn't mean that you should not pay on time. Right? Let's be honest. But in terms of the stringency, we don't want to violate the aveira of not paying on time. So if I hire a worker through an agent, I do not violate Baal Tollin. This is clear in the Gemara.
Okay.
Hi.
No, I see a perfectly legitimate use for this. Like, people who hire home aides.
Right. So you hire a home aide, you go through an agency.
And the agency has, presumably, you know, some reasonable procedure. They give them a check, I mean, whatever they do, however they work it out. They take out Social Security, whatever. That makes sense. But to just to get if just...
So let me give you... This actually comes up all the time. We mentioned that Baal Tollin applies, for example, to... if I hire somebody, not just to work for me, but let's say we don't think of it this way, let's say I hire a dentist to work on my teeth. I hire a doctor to treat me. Now, when I make my doctor's appointment, do I make the doctor's appointment with the doctor himself or herself?
No.
Or do you make the doctor's appointment with the agent of the doctor, with the office person?
Office person.
Oh, thank you. Now, what that means, potentially, we might have to figure this out, that means potentially that there is no Baal Tollin on paying your doctor bills. Now, by the way, this is This is something. You don't want to violate Isurei Doraisa. So, the difference, by the way, between the case in the Gemara and the doctor case is as follows. In the case of the Gemara, the employer is hiring an agent to hire an employee. In the doctor case, the office worker is an agent of the employee, not the employer. Hey, everyone know what employee, employer is? Gotcha? English, okay? I went to Yeshiva Far Rockaway, so I don't have to know English. But like those of you who actually have an education should know the difference between employer and employee. Fine. Now, the Gemara says that the case when you do not violate Baal Tolin is when the agent says, Scharcha al Baal Habayis, I hire a worker, right, for you, and I say, you know what? He's going to pay you. In that case, there is no Baal Tolin. If I say, I'm going to pay you, then you end up violating the Isser of Baal Tolin. And the Gemara tells us that this was done. The last two lines in this Gemara, the last two lines in the first source, Yehuda bar Meremar Omar Leila Shame, Yehuda bar Meremar tells his Shamis, tells his assistant, Zil Agarli Po'alim, Ve'emar Lahu, Skarcham Abal Habayis. Right? In other words, I have an agent hire workers for me. Great, that works. That was done in the Gemara. It's amazing. It's a great trick. Why? Why does this work? Now, not only is the question why does it work, but the question is more fundamental. Throughout Judaism, we have a principle that shlucho shel adam kamoso. No? I can make an... Did I tell you this? When I was engaged to my wife, so I'm telling her that I wanted to have like a razzle-dazzle fancy wedding. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to show up. I'm just going to have a shaliach. Because it'll be like so much more fun. No? Wouldn't that be like so much fun? Like, yeah, and you get like an extra keyboard in the wedding also.
What?
Right? That you could honor somebody, that so-and-so is mechuyed, so-and-so is mechubed, is honored as like the shaliach for kedushin. Is that great? And then I had like an even greater idea. The Gemara says that you could be mekadesh your wife, you could do kedushin with kelev ratzach areha. Let's say there's a dog who's chasing her, and then you save her from the dog. So you become like the great hero, and that has monetary value, and that could be kedushin. So I tried to explain to my wife, like maybe we could do this type of wedding, that like we could have like a dog who's chasing her, and I would save her, and I'd become like this great hero. And she's like, you know, you're crazy, maybe I shouldn't marry you, stuff like that. She's right, but I thought it'd be fun. So how come this works? Right? How come it works? Isn't there a rule that throughout Torah, shlucho sha'adam kamoso? So Rashi writes a cryptic comment. Rashi over here above Mitzia says, lo karina be pu'ulaso itcha. Right? Lo salin pu'ulaso chir itcha ad boker. Meaning, if the work is with you, but if the work is not with you, if someone else hires him, so that it's not included in the Isser, Rashi is doing what legal scholars who call strict constructionism. Right? Pasuk, that's all it means. The Meshech Chachma builds on Rashi's idea. Meshech Chachma says that maybe this is the explanation of the Pasuk with the trup. You know, the earliest commentary on Chumash is the trup. Now, did you ever think about that?
Yeah.
Right? So the Torah writes, Lo salin pu'ulas sachir itecha ad boker. Under Itecha, there is a Tipcha. A Tipcha is the second biggest stop in Judaism after the Esnachta. No? So, what that really means is Lo Salin Pulas Sachir Itcha. Right? Sachir Itcha is together because the Tipcha goes after Itcha. So, Sachir Itcha means, says the Meshech Chachma, the one who is hired by you. So, there's a Pasuk that says, only the one who is hired by you is there the prohibition of Baal Tolin. That's why the Meshech Chachma says it. Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
We'll get to this actually sooner later. But now, I'm the worker. Now you guys are both off the hook. To whom do I have recourse to?
No. So you have recourse to the guy who you're working for, right? And the guy is supposed to pay. Absolutely. The only thing is that the stringency of not paying on time, violating all these prohibitions called Baal Tolin, is Right? Obviously, you are supposed to pay. In fact, the Gemara says that if you do not pay, you're in violation of very serious things, like the psukim in Mishlei, called Baal Tishah, or something. Don't delay, you have to pay. But it's not the real Isur D'Oraisa. You're solving the Torah prohibition. You're still bad if you don't pay. You're still bad if you delay paying. But it takes the
sting.
It takes the what?
The sting.
It takes the sting out of it. That's right. Now, the Tosis Rid is like one of the Balei HaTosis. It's like an Italian Balei HaTosis. Tosis Rid writes, the Baal HaBayis is exempt. Afal gav di'u omer l'shluchot seyu schar li po'alim v'kaim olam b'chol ha'tere kula shlucha shonu kamosel time in the Moshe d'chi chazu po'alim l'Baal HaBayis kad mogar l'hu samchi daiti d'lefer inhu b'yomei avol ki lo chazi l'hu lo samchu daiti d'lefer inhu.
Says the Tosis Rid a svar, logic over here. The logic is that if I'm an employee and the employer himself or herself hires me, I say, you know what? I rely on this guy, he's going to pay me on time. But when the employer hires through someone else, so the worker is less certain that he or she will get paid on time. There's a certain degree of uncertainty that sets in because, whoa, slow down, right? How come this guy's hiring me, not that guy? What's going on here? I'll tell you why. The why is because, you know what, maybe he's not going to pay. Maybe he won't pay me on time. Now, what's interesting is as follows. And in this book, the Chokas Binyamin, this is, he's one of the Rosh Kollel in Chaim Berlin, Reb Feivel Cohen's son, Reb Binyamin Cohen, has a sefer on Schiris Poelim, and he says, the case that I gave you before is actually a nafgamina, it's a difference between the two approaches. Again, Rashi and the Meshech Chochma say that it's a pasuk. The pasuk says only when I hire a worker. But the Tosis Rid says it's logic. If you take the Tosis Rid's approach, so in the case of a doctor, where the person, the agent, is the agent of the employee, rather than agent of the employer. So in that case, there is no question that you're supposed to pay. No? The logic that maybe the worker thinks, right, is because, hey, how come he didn't hire me himself? But in a case when it's the agent of the employee, so there is no question. And in that case, according to the Tosis Rid, there would be Baal Talin, but according to Rashi, presumably, there would not be Baal Talin. That's the argument of the Chalkas Binyamin. Then the Chalkas Binyamin develops a razzle-dazzle idea, which I think is actually interesting. You know, in Halacha, we have different areas, no? Actually, the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying that there are three different areas of halacha. Ki polei mimcha davar la mishpat, bein dam l'dam, bein din l'din, bein nega l'nega. Right? So we have dam l'dam. That is the halacha of iser v'heter. That's the halacha, let's say, of tuma being tumas nida. Din l'din is halacha of chosh and mishpat, halachos of monetary matters. And nega l'nega is halachos of tuma and tahara. And these three areas of halacha are governed by different rules. No, if I have a suffix in monetary matters, I assume hamotzi mechaveira olaf haraya, the person who the burden of proof is on the one who's trying to remove the money. If I have a suffix in iser v'heter, so then I say, is it a suffix d'oraisa or a suffix d'rabbanan? Right? Different areas of halacha are governed by different rules. Question: lo tolen pu'ula sachir. Not delaying the worker. Is that considered a monetary matter, or is that considered iser v'heter? Is it a prohibition? Like, it's tarfus. Like, if you delay working, if you delay paying the worker, it's like eating a piece of pig, or even worse, eating veal or something. It's mamish, treif, right? Or, I say, no. It's not like iser v'heter, it's like dine mominus, right? We have a question of this sort in many areas of halacha, pidyon haben. You have a question on pidyon haben. Is that a monetary question, or is it a question of a mitzvah? I have a question of yerusha. Is that a din of monetary matters, or is it a din of iser v'heter? Questions of ribbis.
Right? Do I say, hey, we have lots of questions of this sort. Do I judge it by Choshen Mishpat law, or do I judge it by Yerideya law? Very, very open question. So the Chalkas Binyamin maintains that in his opinion, the halacha of paying a worker on time is not monetary law. It's really Isser V'Heter. You see, you're going to pay the worker. It's just a question, am I going to pay him today, tomorrow, the next day? Delaying, right? A monetary question would be, if I'm going to pay at all. Over here, I'm going to pay. It's just a question of when. Oh, if it's a question of when, so then that might be Isser V'Heter. If that's the case, says the Chalkas Binyamin, this might be, and this can answer a din in Mishin Lamatessa if Dalid can be explained based on this, but the Chalkas Binyamin develops the idea that because paying workers late is not dine mumminus, it's not monetary law, it's Isser V'Heter, so that could explain why agency doesn't help. Or why you get out of it through agency. Because the agent is working, in this case, a dine mumminus. I work, I hire a worker. Oh, so you better pay me. Okay, great. I'm going to get the money eventually, right? Or you're going to work for me. Great. But in terms of the prohibition in the Torah, one could argue that this prohibition is considered Isser V'Heter rather than dine mumminus. Again, this is a little convoluted, but I actually think it's elegant. I actually think that this is in a... Hello, Mr. Wiener. How are you in the back?
All right.
Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Wait, so the thing about not hiring, the thing about hiring a middleman to hire a person.
Right.
So we're not talking about a shliach like we do.
So we assume it's a shliach, but the shlichus is only working for the monetary aspects of it. For the Isser V'Heter, shlichus doesn't help. Yeah.
Right, so if this is an Isser V'Heter thing, it's easier than hire someone.
Right.
If it was just strictly...
If it was just strictly monetary, so then... Again?
If it is a monetary thing, then regardless, this guy's a shliach.
Correct. That's what we're trying to suggest.
Is this...
What?
So you're hiring. You're hiring the...
It's like guys. I'm hiring through somebody else, but that means I'm doing it based on shlichos.
Right. Yeah.
Right? It's only because... Like for the Isser V'Heter aspect.
I'm saying he's not doing your work. So it just doesn't fit into that Isser.
I'm not following.
I'm saying, if it's Isser V'Heter, so then it makes sense it could work.
Correct.
Because then it makes sense to say, oh, that Isser only applies.
When I do it directly.
You're working for that guy and getting paid for that.
Because the nature of the Isser, the Chalkas Binyamin tries to explain the nature of the Isser in some ways. Is that when I hire a worker, there's an implied promise that I am going to pay the worker on time. I'm putting my reputation on the line. But when I hire a worker through an agent, my reputation is not on the line. Now, once I say it's Isser V'Heter, what I'm saying is that not paying the worker on time is tantamount to lying. It's deception. Because the expectation is that I'll pay you on time. That's really the idea that he's trying to develop.
So
hi, Frida.
Is that to say that violating Isser V'Heter is weightier than if it's, quote, just, unquote?
Again, they're different. Obviously, dine mumminus has certain stringency. They're different areas. That we have to look at them differently. I don't know what's more stringent, what's less stringent. They're different.
It's like, hey, this is... Right, so this is
right.
Serious.
This is serious stuff. But hiring workers through an agent is actually a better way. Now, again, you have to question, like in the typical case, when I hire a babysitter, right? So we mentioned last week from the Chafetz Chaim that in his Sefer Avas Chesed that even to someone under Bar Bat Mitzvah, the prohibition applies. But if I hire a babysitter, for example, my kids babysit, okay? I probably shouldn't say this on tape because they're going to be inundated now. But my kids babysit. Now, how do people arrange for babysit, have like Chava or Bruri a babysit? Or actually, Baruch likes babysitting more than anyone else. Right? How do you arrange for that? So usually they text me or my wife. Is that considered hiring a worker through an agent?
Probably.
And that's already, right? And in that way, they don't violate Baal Tolin, right? And by the way, this is not uncommon. My kids come home at night, and they say, yeah, they said that they'll pay us tomorrow. And they pay them tomorrow. But you burn in hell for that. Right? I mean, like, I always wanted to do that as like a worker. Say, yeah, of course you could pay me tomorrow, but you'll burn. Wouldn't that be fun?
And then you won't get hired again.
You know, you have to. It might be worth it, though. Okay, let's go on. Other ways to solve or to not violate Baal Tolin is, let's say the worker knows that the boss can't pay. In that case, there's also no prohibition of Baal Tolin. This is a Gemara Kuf Yud Aleph. I forgot to give the Maror Makom, source number 2. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Hani Shukoi Desura, Lo Avi Mishum Baal Tolin, Meidi Yad I De Al Yoma Deshuka Smichi, Avo Mishum Baal Tisha Vaday Over. The Gemara says that the workers in the Surah didn't have money all the time. They would only get money on the market days. And any worker who is hired knows that the employer does not have money. Because money is only available. This is like, you have to think about this from like the old school mentality, that people would earn money when they went to the fair. Right? They go to the market, then they earn money. And at home, they don't have money. So if I hire a worker, right? And it's like, again, if it's right after the fair, you probably have some dollars on you, right? Or some rubles, whatever it is. But as it gets closer and closer to the next fair, you have less and less money. So the workers know that you can't pay. And because the workers know you can't pay, so therefore there's no Baal Tolin. In other words, Baal Tolin is based on the employer, or on the, I would say, the employee's expectation of being paid on time. If the employee has no expectation of being paid on time, there's no Baal Tolin. Rabbi Yashiv commented, unfortunately we're reaching this point here in the Heights, that there are certain schools who are known for not making payroll. It's very sad, no? It's terrible, but there it happens. So a school technically has a responsibility to pay workers on time, no? But if the teachers are hired knowing that the school is always behind on payroll, the school does not violate Baal Tolin because they know.
If you're working for a school,
what?
Yeah, if you're working for a school, you should know.
If you work for such a school, you shouldn't. Now, by the way, the school, I'm not saying it's a good idea for the school to hire workers in that case, but if everybody knows that the school is behind on payroll, did I tell you the story ever? My father's Rebbe was this Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, who was the chief rabbi in Montreal.
Yes.
Hirschsprung was like a super genius,
yes.
But more than the fact that he knew all of Torah by heart, Rav Hirschsprung was a Gadon Chesed. And my cousin in Montreal, his name was Tzudik Mandelkorn. Tzudik was the president of the Beis Yaakov in Montreal for many years. And so, anyone here from Montreal?
I'm friends of
okay. mine. So Tzudik, my cousin, is the president of the Beis Yaakov, and there was a time that the school almost did not make payroll, and my cousin decided that, or Rav Hirschsprung went over to my cousin and said, listen, you're the president of the school, we have to make payroll, you're gonna give all the money. And so my cousin gave the money. Rav Hirschsprung sat with him in the office all night as he's writing out the checks. Every single check was written by hand. He said, listen, we have a mitzvah, we got to pay the teachers on time. Thank you very much for doing it. You're doing a mitzvah. I want to be with you and help. Right? To the best of his ability, right? He just kept my cousin company while he's signing every single check. For the workers. Again, there's a degree of chesed. I gave YU has a they give a Rav Hirschsprung lecture once a year. So 1 year I gave the lecture. So basically it wasn't much of a lecture. I just told stories that I knew about Rav Hirschsprung. But it was a lot of fun. So there's a shiur on YU Torah hearing me talk about all these Rav Hirschsprung stories.
Now, book.
What?
There's a book.
There is a book that Rav Hirschsprung is one of the only Gedola Yisrael who wrote an autobiography of his time during the Holocaust. And it's called The Veil of Tears. It just came out in English. It's actually a translation. He wrote the book in Yiddish. A translation from the Yiddish, yeah, it's a very good book. I actually lent my copy to somebody. I have to get it back. Okay, thank you for reminding me. Now,
we could give a whole shiur on returning books.
We could do that. That's the next topic we're going to talk about, is like returning items. Next, the halacha of if the worker knows the boss can't pay, there's no baal talan, is even if the boss has money. The worker was hired with the expectation that he or she is not going to get paid on time. Because everybody knows that this school pays late. Even if the school happens to have money, still there's no baal talan if they don't pay on time. That's the halacha. The next din, we're going to try to go a little bit quickly now because, as I always do, I tend to go too slow at the beginning, so I have to speed it up as we go on. Category 3, if the worker doesn't demand payment. You only violate baal talan if the worker demands payment. Let's say I work for you, and I never ask for the money. So then the halacha is that there's no baal talan. This is a gemara on Kuf Yud Beis, in Bava Metzia Kuf Yud Beis, Bizman She Tva'o, Lo Tva'o, Eino Over Alav. You don't violate baal talan if the worker does not demand the money. Now, what does that mean? We'll talk about, like, right now.
Okay.
Right? So what does that mean, demand? So the Chafetz Chaim writes that in his opinion, demanding money, demanding payment, does not mean that the worker says, pay me. Sometimes people are embarrassed to say, pay me. Let's say the worker just shows up. The babysitter comes, like, Friday afternoon, and is just standing there. No? You know that look? When someone wants to be paid, and they're just standing there?
Paper boy, no.
Right? And they don't say, give me money, right? Because that sounds like a little bit grubberish, right? So you just stand there. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's considered demanding payment. In the Sefer Halachos of People's Money, he maintains that if it's a kid, the kid might even be embarrassed to stand there. So demanding is considered just finishing the job. Because the Chafetz Chaim's idea is that if it's Mishum Kisufa, if you're just embarrassed to ask, so it's as if you're asking. So with kids, the assumption is that they might be embarrassed to ask earlier. Now, so this is the halacha of demanding payment. Reb Kiva Eger says, let's say if I don't demand the money myself, I ask an agent to demand the money for me, that's also considered I'm demanding. Even though we mentioned earlier that agency doesn't help, that means agency doesn't help to hire the worker, but agency does help to demand payment. That's the idea. Why that would be true is worth thinking about. There's an interesting bir halacha. The bir halacha discusses as follows. Let's say I'm preparing for Shabbos, and the worker comes and wants to be paid. And if I'm going to pay the worker, I'm not going to have money to buy meat for cholent in Shabbos. And Shabbos without cholent is like, oh my gosh. Right? Like, no cholent. Right? Like, you're not Jewish if you don't have cholent. Right? So what's the halacha? Do you pay the worker? Or do you buy meat for cholent?
Par of cholent.
What? Par of cholent. You don't have money for beans. Right? So you pay the worker. The Chafetz Chaim writes, and it seems pretty obvious, since paying workers on time is a din de oraisa, and cholent on Shabbos, as important as it is, this is going to be the biggest question here today. There is no pasuk in the Torah that says you have to eat cholent. No such thing. So therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha, it's on page 2 on the back, the Bir Halacha says you have to pay the worker even if it means you're not going to have Oneg Shabbos. That's the Halacha. However, what you could try to do, the Chafetz Chaim says, is you should try to appease the guy and say, you know what, would you accept payment later? Now, you have to be careful. We mentioned last week that appeasing the worker only helps before payment is due.
Right.
Once the job is done, it doesn't help. Point 2 is appeasing the worker that you should not accept payment. Reb Moshe Sternbuch points this out in Tshuva and Chelek Gimel Siman Tav Ayin. Appeasing the worker only helps if the worker is really appeased. Right? Sometimes I say, you know, I walk over to the worker, I say, listen, I don't really have money to pay you. Is it okay if I pay later? What are you supposed to say? You say, no, it's not okay. Right? It's not okay. Like, yeah. What's going to happen? So you'll say it's okay, but you don't really mean it. It has to be real. It has to be that the guy is really saying it's okay. Fine. There is a discussion in one of these Sfarim. What about if it's Erev Yom Kippur and they have to pay a worker or buy food to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Right? Now this is already serious business, right? You could probably get by Shabbos without cholent. Probably. It's difficult as it is. But to get by Erev Yom Kippur without food is more difficult, no? So in that case, this fellow who wrote the book, he says he asked Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein and he asked Reb Zalman Nechemya. Some of them felt that maybe Erev Yom Kippur, there's potential pekuach nefesh. If you don't eat on Erev Yom Kippur, maybe that overrides paying the worker on time. But it remains a bit of doubt that the next thing. The last point I wanted to mention very quickly is another way to get out of paying workers on time, and do not try this one at home, is if you really have no money, then the Torah says, the Gemara says there's no iser of not paying the worker on time if you really have no money. Now, what does it mean that you have no money? So Gemara says, no money. Okay, great. What does that mean? Let's say I have no cash, but I have food that I could give you. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, in that case, you should give the food. Right? No money means no money. Let's say I have no money. I have no cash. But I could sell my watch. Do I have to sell my watch to pay my worker? Okay? Do I have to run out to the pawn shop and sell my watch? So that's a big discussion in Poskim. Most Poskim assume that you don't have to sell your personal items to pay the worker. Right? If you have cash, you have to pay. The Chafetz Chaim writes, if I have cash, even if I have a big bill, right, I just don't want to break my $100 bill, still, I have to break my $100 bill to pay the worker. That's given. Or give the worker the whole $100, which probably not such a good idea. But that's what you got to do. That's the halacha. Now, let's say, right, again, I'm going quickly, but everything is here on the sources. Let's say I don't have money to pay the worker, but I could borrow money. Am I obligated to knock on my next door neighbor's door and say, Rabbi Goldwicht, can you lend me some money to pay my babysitter? Am I obligated to do that? I have no money. Right? What's the din? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe, writes in Sif Yud Ches that you don't have to do that, but it's Midas Chasidus to do it. And in other words, that you should. You should borrow money to pay the worker. The Chafetz Chaim was very firm. The Chafetz Chaim argues that, you know what? You have an obligation to put yourself in a situation where you perform mitzvos. Right. This is actually, I spoke about this on Sukkot a bit. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zechron Olof Racha, has a tshuva that he wrote about whether you're allowed to go, whether the tenuah tenoar in Israel, whether the youth groups can go on trips during Sukkot, which will mean that they are exempt from Sukkah because they're away. So Rav Aaron first writes, according to the pure halacha, maybe they're exempt from Sukkah, whatever, like you can hear like Rav Aaron, and like he gives like this whole like, but he says at the end, why would anyone want to do this? To avoid the mitzvah of Sukkah, just to tour the land? Yes, the land of Israel is so beautiful, it's so special, but to avoid the mitzvah of Sukkah, and then he quotes a Taisus in Pesach and writes, I give the Taisus at the bottom of the page, that a person should put himself in a situation to do mitzvahs. The Gemara in Sota tells us, how come Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael? You think Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to eat the lush fruits? You think Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enjoy the greenery? No! Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do mitzvot. And Tosfos in Sota, and the Gemara, excuse me, in Sota Daf Yud Aleph says, which Tosfos in Pesachim quotes, that the idea that you see from Moshe Rabbeinu is that you want to do mitzvot. So Chafetz Chaim says, you know what? We have an obligation to want to do mitzvot. Right? It's almost like, I spoke about this in Yom Kippur a few times, that the defining element of what a person is what do you want? What do you want to want? Right? I want certain things. Do I want to want those things? Rav Aaron develops the idea that you want to do mitzvot. And there's an obligation. The Gemara Menachos tells me that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he punishes people, punishes men for not wearing tzitzis. Why does Hashem punish men for not wearing tzitzis? Because you should put yourself tzitzis you don't have to wear. If you have a garment with four corners, you have to wear tzitzis. But if I don't have a garment with four corners, I don't have to wear tzitzis. But when Hashem is angry, Hashem says, how come you don't put yourself in a situation that you're obligated to do a mitzvah? So says the Chafetz Chaim, that you know what? If you don't have money to pay your worker, what you should do is go out of your way, borrow money, in order to put yourself in the situation that you can fulfill the mitzvah of paying the worker.
So if you take a loan from the bank, that would work.
So all poskim say, if I'm taking a loan from a bank that will have an interest attached to it, so then I'm going to be losing money on the deal, I have zero obligation to lose money. But let's say I can knock on my neighbor's door, and I could say, can you give me $100 to pay my babysitter?
Wow, is that what they're getting these days?
Way more. Yeah. Trust me. I pay $15 an hour. But
that isn't
I probably shouldn't have said that on tape. But yeah, I pay $15 an hour.
Why? For babysitting?
I mean, it's house cleaning, light housekeeping, and babysitting. Yeah, go see that. But you should try to put yourself in a situation where you can do the mitzvah of paying workers on time. That's the basic halacha that emerges, because what you want to do is you want to do the mitzvah. Now, we also mentioned from the Chafetz Chaim, and maybe we'll conclude with this, that let's say the babysitter needs $100, and I only have $90. So what should I do? So Chafetz Chaim says, give $90. That the other $10 ends up that you don't have money, and when you don't have money, there's no Baal Talan. But let's say I decide I'm going to give the babysitter $85, and I want to keep $5 for myself, just in case I need to go downstairs and buy a soda or whatever. Then I violate this Siddur Raisa Baal Talan.
Yeah.
I paid $85, right? But I violate the Issa D'oraisa Baal Talan, because the only way I don't violate the Issa D'oraisa is if I have no cash on hand. If I save $5 to buy a soda, you die. Don't do that, right? And you don't die, but it's like you burn. Right? That's the basic idea. So again, these are some of the halachos of Baal Talan. What we'll speak about next time, God willing, are some of the halachos of returning lost items. Again, what we'll do with like money matters is I want to talk about Baal Talan, I want to talk about returning lost items, I want to talk about common scenarios of stealing, which you don't think of, and then we'll talk about certain cases of ribbis and heter iska, and then, I don't know, maybe I'll have a good time and do other stuff. Yeah.
So, if the person says, I can't pay you the full amount, let's make a payment plan.
Yeah, so you violate this, sir, with a payment plan. You have to pay, Baal Talan means you have to pay right away. Again, if the worker wholeheartedly...
He's paying him right away.
But not the full amount. If I don't pay the full amount...
Can't do it.
What?
He tells him that he can't do it, and they ask him if he wants to do a payment.
Again, if I say that before the payment is due, that's okay.
Yeah,
that's right? If the guy wholeheartedly agrees. But if I say it once payment is due, so that is the real Avera. Yeah.
Also, with a credit card, it wouldn't work because credit cards... I
don't remember if last time I spoke about paying by check or paying by credit card, save Baal Talan. I think we spoke about that last time.
You said that with the bank, there's interest.
So in
with
our
the
world...
Card,
yeah, correct. Again, it's probably Midas Chasidus to lose a little bit of money to fulfill the mitzvah of Baal Talan, but there's... Or the... To not violate the Aver Baal Talan, but there's probably no obligation
check.
To do so.
If you give the guy a check, he feels like he's...
So we mentioned last time that Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that since people expect payment in checks today, that's good enough. It's a standard way of paying. So the worker is mochel. Now Chase QuickPay, I think. I think today people use Chase QuickPay probably more often than checks.
Or direct deposit.
Right. I mean, like, so okay. Thank you for listening, Chevra. Have a good night.